Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, welcome to Live with Kathy. Heard on Blog Talk Radio, the world's largest social network reaching listeners in any country around the world. Not only locally, nationally, internationally, and globally. It's been an exciting week. On May 20th, we did Climbing Higher on the Path of Life, and we had Gail on in her mid-70s, an incredible lady with an incredible attitude on, I'm not going to the very end with my dream still dancing in my heart. I'm still dancing and singing and climbing and running. Hustle up the Hancock and the fight for air climb. Any stair climb, the Willis Tower, and there are several others. Well, the climbing season is over with, but what you need to do is to stay into condition. Now, remember I said on any of my shows, you know they're archived, blogtalkradio.com/Kathy Watson, and click on any of the dates, and begin with May 20th. And be inspired. You see, age has nothing to do with it. We live in a nation, in a country, that really is the wealthiest and the most productive, entrepreneurial, capitalistic, but they're not too swift on staying up with the progress of looking good at any age. If you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you look good. It's the mindset. It is one. If I were to change our whole world, I would take you back to when you were born, and I would change every, I would delete the cassette that's in your computer brain right now, and I would fill it with power, energy, and positive thoughts and words. I would eliminate toxic, negative thinking. But it's habit, isn't it? You've all embraced habit. And are you one of the gaseo geezers that are giving aging a bad reputation? Are you one of those that are going to live in the past no matter what? Are you going to just simply say, enough is enough? Life is not a dress rehearsal. This is it. You know, today's show is about a man of steel, a tribute to a visionary using his brain. Everything about the show, everything that I do, everything that I say, there is a pre-thought. Thoughts are not just things, they are the creator things. And you, my darlings, are creating your life right now. Tomorrow is promised to no one, there's just today. We only have the present moment, sparkling like a star in our hand, melting like a snowflake. Oh, you've heard me say time and time again, I went to bed one night, I was 25, when I woke up I was in the winter of my life. But I see it as climbing higher on the path of life, which has no end, only new opportunities, new beginnings, new portals and vistas to enter, to explore. You see, the thinking about aging has truly accelerated. The 70, 80, 90-year-olds are paving your future. Are paving your future. Listen to us. Take an aha out of what we have to say. We're the ones that are going to save the planet because we're caring, we're compassionate, filled with integrity. And that fire in the belly desire to help all of you live your life like it's golden. Yeah, we're living longer, but not necessarily better. You're listening to Live with Kathy. The guest call-in is 347-637-3789. That's 347-637-3789. And you can email me at kathystudio@sbcglobal.net. You could write to me at Post Office Box 95913, Hoffman Estates, Illinois, 60195. Now be sure and log on www.kathywatsonspeaks.com. Click on all of the buttons. I know it's very difficult for all of you to look into the future. If you're not futuristic and if you're not a visionary, then you can't. You're running with the herd. You see, those of us that are 70, 80, 90 years old, man, we're rocking with our age. And we're celebrating our evolution. We're making it happen. Now, you know, I have a confession to make. On October 15th, 2013, I celebrated my 80th year moving higher on the path of life. And I have to tell you, it was almost like a stop sign said, stop. Where are you going? Who are you? What are you? And where are you going, Kathy, with this? And I had to go into deep meditation on, well, if you listen to the show on May 20th, Gail, who is an absolute dynamic diva, said, Kathy, do you find it difficult to tell people that you're 80, that you're an octogenarian? And I said, yeah, for a little while, I just wrestled with it. And she said, you know, here in America and in Chicagoland, boy, age matters. Yeah, I know, Gail, we're supposed to be in God's waiting room. But don't you see, darling, many have been selected, but we've been chosen to pave the way. To say, what has age got to do with it? I know. The beautiful, elegant elders, they're ignored in America. Now, in Colombia, they revere their elegant, aging seniors. But you're 30 years old, you're not going to do so well. They think you're pretty old to be breaking into the business world. Well, you know what? That was kind of, whew, I went, man, that's good to hear. But do you have any idea? Hey, you're all catching up with us. Did you live? Did you love? Did you matter? Right now, look in the mirror. Did you live? Did you love? Did you matter? And later on in the show, you're going to hear about my tribute to a visionary, Lynn R. Williams, became the head of the U.S. Steelworkers Union. At the time, one of the worst decades in history, 1983, for steel and steel workers in America. He was president of the U.S. steel workers from 1983 until 1994, a trying period for his industry. But he never gave up. He had a dream. He went through the abyss. And during his tenure, 1994 minus 1983. So 1983 minus 19. For 39 years, no, that doesn't sound right. He started in 1983 to 1994. 11 years. Well, whatever his tenure was, 83, 84, 85, 86, 87, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93. Yeah, whatever his tenure was, this man gave it his all. So now what's going to fill your dash? I was born in 1993, and I plan on living a very, this is the springtime of my life. There is so much to do, so much to see, so much to share. So perhaps my dash will be she did it all. She made it happen. Yeah. I did make it happen. Because I had visions. I could see. And you know when you get the epiphanies, the aha? Well, that's what Lynn Williams did. Canadian born. A pioneer. And he was a risk taker. First to adopt strategies of diversity. An organizer. And the first to demand financial transparency. And he joined the union. You see, it isn't always, oh, I wrote a book, I'm on stage, I did this, I did that. No. It's what you do when people aren't noticing. When you make incredible headway and incredible progress and you don't stand on the mountaintop shouting and screaming about it in the silence, in the privacy of your home, in your business life, when you're doing good and you're seeing a change, that's what counts. In the Big Old Magazine, I just happened to open it. Why are people so obsessed with their age? And there are five women taking part in this month's issue celebrating their personal evolution. And this is Beth. She's a writer. Is stress contagious? Oh, I wish I could tell my younger self, don't turn yourself into a pretzel trying to be what the guy wants. The best part of being 58 is self-acceptance. That's what her sister-in-law announced. I'm not apologizing for my house or the size of my butt. Me either. Who cares? And then there's a forecast. And here is Coral, a photographer who says, love the age you are. I wish I could tell my younger self some of the angst will melt away. The best part of being 39, oh, come on. Your body is young enough to do almost anything, and you have the confidence that comes from living life. You've only been on here for 39 years, 3 decades compared to my 8. And Hai Jing Chu, an illustrator, I wish I could tell my younger self, you're doing all right, so stop worrying. And if you think things won't go right unless you worry about them, then, honey, we have to rethink your thought process. Worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. The best part of being 30 is buying gifts for my friends' children. It's pretty amazing to see everyone starting families at the age of 30. You've reached cellular maturity. You're the rose that has bloomed. How does your garden grow? And here's Penny. She's a writer. The joy of being 36. What? I wish I could tell my younger self, Penny girl, with your sweet, ambitious self, don't go thinking that getting older means getting it together. Oh, and she said at the age of 37, now, how brilliant is this? I get to stay up past my bedtime. And we have Ruth, who said the joy of 57. I wish I could tell my younger self, be patient. Of course she won't listen. The best part of being 8 is that I don't quite expect so much from myself or others. Now when things don't go my way, I'm less disappointed. Now when I've said to you time and time again, look into your future, what do you see? How do you see yourself in a year, 5, 10 years? Be outrageous. Be a visionary. So Beth says, 10 years from now, I'd love to spend my summers in a cottage on Martha's Vineyard. And Carl says, 10 years from now, I'd love to be midway through a photo project with my two children. And Chung said, 10 years from now, travel and see the 7 wonders of the world. And Penny, 10 years from now, I'd love to have narrowed the distance, even if it's just a little bit, between who I am and who I want to be. Who are you? What are you? Where are you going? Take time to meditate. Ask yourself those questions and then wait for the answer. And Ruth, who is the writer of The Joy of 57, 10 years from now to be alive. And it would be nice to have written another book or two. Why wait? Why wait? What's taking you so long? Now, we're talking about grasshoppers in their 30s. So, we pose the question, are you grown up? Are you mature? Do you have the guts that Mr. William had? He saved the U.S. steel industry. With his vision, with his passion. So, when did you know you had truly become a grown-up? I remember when I did. You see, I came from an immigrant background, and there were 5 children, and my mother had a favorite, my older sister. And I'd been carrying that baggage around with me for so many years. And one day I lashed out at my mother. She was sitting in the recreation room of our beautiful home in the south suburb of Chicago. And I said, why? Why did you choose? What about the rest of us? How could you? And I really lashed out. And she burst out in tears. She said, I don't know. It was the only way that she knew. And I wasn't the easiest child to raise because I always had a better way. Sneak away, to climb the forbidden red hill, take my shoes off and the red ore would be there. I challenged my mother constantly. It's because I had an inquisitive mind. I was a little girl and wanted to reach out and embrace the world. And then I realized right at that moment that it wasn't her fault at all. We only do what we can do at our point of awareness. You see, Ma came from Europe, turn of the century, and she didn't fulfill her dream. She wanted to be a nurse, but my two sisters went on to be a nurse, and then Anne married the doctor, which made all the difference in the world to my mother. I think she saw in my sister what could have been for her, because she married Papa and Petet. And we think when we would get together that discuss it that it was an arranged marriage. And now they're both gone. I don't totally believe that there's such a thing as forgiveness. That's up to God. I told my mother I understood that and I no longer will hold her accountable. I was blaming her. And then I find myself saying to all of you, please don't judge me until you've walked in my shoes. Please don't judge me until you know me. I didn't walk in my mother's shoes. I don't know the heartbreak. She didn't know how to embrace love. Oh, we were taken care of. Man, good food, homemade everything, and I thank her today for her brilliance in nutrition. And I thank my father for the work ethics that he bestowed on me. You see, we all choose our parents. Whether you agree with me or not, we all choose our parents. And I chose them to learn that each one of us have our journey, a clean canvas. And what they put on their canvas, it was their choice, and I had nothing to do with it. And I mustn't be judgmental. You know, the fourth prayer in Buddha, what you wish for yourself, you wish for all mankind and the entire universe. So, you see, when I got that, Namyoho Ringai Kyo, I was, oh my gosh, the sword, I put the sword down. I now knew that everyone out there, I don't know how depraved you are. I don't know how despicable you are. I don't care. All in this great big vast cauldron that is my life, we're all in it. Our minds are there. And what I wish for me, I wish for all of you and all mankind. And that lift the burden of having to make a decision on each individual, as it's not up to me to judge. So, are you grown up? When did you know you truly had a grown up, became a grown up? I'll give you a quick overview. Here's a 37-year-old, her name is Judy, from Texas, while completing a master's degree in counseling, teaching full-time, raising a family, she began helping her husband care for his ill mother. Being thrust into this new position made me realize I could handle more than I ever thought possible. Bring it on. And here's a gal, Natasha, at the age of 27. She decided not to have children because she wanted the freedom to accept any opportunity that came her way. And she had to fight for custody of her autistic teenage brother. From that point on, all my decisions have been about what's best for him, South Carolina. And from Michigan, when I could accept my parents as imperfect people and love them anyway. Who are you? What are you? And where are you going? When I found my way back to play, busying myself with marriage and work made me feel terribly adult. But I realized I'd truly grown up when out surfing one day, I gave myself permission to stay out for 10 minutes more. That's Australia. Hi, all of you in Australia. Come on, give me a call. 347-637-3789. And this is from Dory from Kentucky. When I was at a St. Patrick's Day parade and saw a group of college students hanging out on the roof of a building, I thought, that's so dangerous. Someone is going to fall and get hurt. I realized that my own living on the edge days were over. And here from Lee, Montana. I think it happened almost 4 months ago when I gave my retirement notice. I'm just ready to feel life for a while. And here is a gal from Chicago, my hometown. When I followed my dreams and started law school at the age of 40, growing up on the south side of Chicago, I hoped to give back to my community one day, and now, 2.5 years later, I've graduated, and my life has become full circle. Now what? When I was living in my first apartment, there was no one else to kill the giant spider that ran across the floor, Marilyn. And this is from California, Annie. In my culture, the parents chose whom you will marry. But when I stood up against my family's wishes to marry the love of my life, I knew I truly had become a grown-up. Who are you? What are you? And where are you going? You're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio. And today's show topic is A Man of Steel. I want you to be the humankind of steel. I want you to have vision. You know, Bill Gates had vision, didn't he? And he met in a garage. And allegedly was literally begging people to invest $1,500 in what is now billions and billions of dollars. The body and brain don't age, we do. Do you want to be a leader? Or do you want to take a back seat? You know, sometimes taking a back seat is helpful because you get to listen. How good are you at listening? Can you truly listen? And can you hear? Do you hear what they're saying? Live with Kathy on Block Talk Radio. The time is now. There was a lady in New York City that decided to put up a sign. She and her friend sat on a busy corner, and they put up a sign, free listening. So she and her friend sat for 90 minutes and just listened to people. That's right, complete strangers. No streaks, no gimmicks. They simply listened. You know, we all want to be heard, don't we? We all want to be assured that we are seen, understood, and supported by people and the vastness of the universe. Let's go in this together. I challenge you. I'm challenging me for the rest of the day. Now, after the show, we're leaving. I'm going to practice free listening. I'm going to listen to my intuition and act in accordance with my values and beliefs. Are you totally present with every person with whom you interact in life? What is it going to take? A near-death experience? Can you be present with every person that comes into your life? Can you have direct eye contact, and listen intently? Today, we're going to take a baby step, all of us together. Today, right now, we're going to be totally present with people. It's a powerful practice. We all deserve to be seen and heard fully. The time is now. Marie Curie said, "Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Now is the time to understand more so that we may fear less." Imagine Mr. Williams, a bookish Canadian with a reputation for intelligent, nuanced leadership. Nuanced means subtle. He knew what he knew who he was. He knew what he was. And he knew where he was going. People all over this planet are waking up to the fact that they've been hiding their light far too long. He let his light shine. What about you? Are you still under the cover in that comfort zone where you don't want to be seen or heard? How sad. They talk, write, and share on world platforms that they are ready to shine and proudly proclaim that they are the voice of the new world. Those of us, 2014, the year to unleash the power of your voice. 2014, the year to unleash the power of the force of 70, 80, 90-year-olds. I don't know what other word to use. We are the guides to humanity that is more kind than cautious. Oh, we're more loving than skeptical. We're an open book, not closed. And more heart-centric than fear-based. Did you know that fear is the only thing that stops us from soaring? Are you 50 and fabulous or are you 50 and feeble? 50, fabulous you is screaming to be released. It's asking the fearful you to let go and unlock the prison of your mind. This is it. Time for you to leap. Your greatness is the safety net. It's strong, reinforced, and indestructible. And it doesn't matter what baby step you take. Yesterday's show, Wednesday, lessons learned. The fittest losers in our area. Combined, they lost over 300 pounds. They stepped out of their comfort zone and say, hey, world, look at me. Look what I have to offer. If I could do it, so could you. Mr. Williams said, hey, world, look at the light that I have torched for all of you. And what he has done for the U.S. steel business, yours doesn't, it could be as big as you want or as teeny tiny. It could be a baby step. Get your book out. Get your pen out. And right now, write it down. The time is now. The fabulous you is screaming to be released. It's time to call for the intentionality of living out loud. It's time for you to shift to another vibration of living. It's time to step up, step out, and soar. Soar with the eagles. Don't run with the herd. You are a miraculous unfolding. And the world, God, the universe, is celebrating you in every moment. Your divine appointment is here. You are in time and on time. You're here for a reason, not just to take up space. The doors are open. The world is waiting you. Don't you think it's time to claim your destiny? I do. This is the moment, and now is the time. Go forth and claim what is rightfully yours. You're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio. Listen to these shows. They're all archived. You know, that was very powerful. Oh, your life is time. Who are you giving your life to? Like Steve Jobs said, are you giving it to someone who isn't supportive of you and is talking you down and abusive? Get out. Run, don't walk. I love giving you 4 hours of my life every week. I love sharing with the world what has helped me see living in the truest, purest light and love of giving and caring. And I believe in karma. It all comes back. What you put out there comes back. Now, is it going to bite you in the butt or is it going to embrace you? Thank you, ARP Magazine. Seniors, beware, I have a PSA that's brought to you by contributing authors of Choices, Awe-Inspiring Choices Revealed by Successful Entrepreneurs. The book is Choices. You could get it by calling me at 847-882-8717. It's telling our story. The trials and the tribulations, the sadness, the doubt, the fear, but we stomped that down and said, we're going forward. We got through the abyss and standing on the mountaintop. Now, there are some people that, you know, I don't know how they sleep at night. They're sociopaths and they're pathological. Very briefly, I listened to a show yesterday on TV that I never, ever watch. But because it was current events, I thought I'd listen to this gal, who, by the way, is a female Jesus Christ. She walks on water. I have never in my life listened to such BS that spewed out of her mouth. She is a sociopath and a pathological liar. She left me breathless. I wonder how she sleeps at night. Then I wonder how these con artists and scam artists sleep. Now, honey, beware. Oh, they are good at what they... Oh, promising a solution to a problem. Companionship for Lonely Hearts. Take this number down, 800-646-2283. A mother and daughter in Colorado... They're spending 15 to 13 years. I think the mother got 15 years and the daughter got 13 years. They scammed 3 million from people in the spirit of love and romance. Hang up. Oh, honey, you are not going to win the lottery. And if you do, they're not going to ask you to send them money to file your win. Call the police. Call the family member. Do not give them any social security number, where you live. Be sure and call the fraud hotline, 800-646-2283. And you want to know what? Want to know what? Based on reports, we lose $3 billion a year to these scam artists. But the true figure is many times higher because most of the crimes go unpunished, go unreported out of embarrassment. Be you. Call 800-646-2283. Thank you, contributing authors and choices. It's 108 pages long. You won't put it down. And I'm one of the contributing authors. You could call me, 847-882-8717, and I shall be delighted to give you a discount. And then you could call, log on, Amazon.com, Author House, Barnes & Noble. And get the book choices. Introduced by Kathy Watson. And my story? Through the years, backward, turn backward. Oh, time in your flight, make me a child again. Just for tonight, page one. I was raised by immigrant parents. Ma and Pa were among the many that made their way to America from Europe. My mother gave me an insight into her world as a natural nutritionist. My Pa instilled in me work ethic, second to none. And then we have, oh, there's so many more. It's never too late. You could fulfill, viva reviva, from humble beginnings to success. Stephen Stressler was born in South Philadelphia in 1931, the middle of a depression. His parents were humble immigrants who knew no luxuries, but through hard work and living within their means, they set up strong character, work ethics for their son and daughter. Sandy Hutchings, living her life in paradise on Sanibel Island. The owner of Gulf Breeze Cottages. Where do loggerhead turtles, orchids, and butterflies, what do they have in common? They love Sandy's Gulf Front property. And then Steel Mill Mama shows no sign of retiring. Her choice, refire, not retire. Unfortunately, she passed several years ago. And then my life's work, Chuck Brasselton, from frostbitten toes to fingers, the youngest of four boys, all born at home in the family farmhouse near Brockton, Illinois. He attended country school for the first 2 years. The school was about 2 miles from my house. The only way to get there was by walking. I used to cut across several farms as a shortcut to get to school. Talk about freezing? My frostbitten toes and fingers are finally thawing. No, we didn't come into this world with a trust fund, with a silver spoon in our mouth. And then Lee Patrick, I'm adopted and special. We choose you. I quit. Powerful statement. Enjoy the journey of a remarkable woman who's been taking quantum leaps all of her life. Lee is a role model of optimism and hope, never wavered from her determination to choose a career over becoming an entrepreneur over corporate America. Oh, hello, Lee. She's with Shackley. Log on, letitia.myshackley.com. But listen to her story. Thank you, Lee. And Rhea Schmitz. Who am I and where am I going? From stargazing to wonderment. In life, there are so many roads traveled, so many choices to make, but the reality, you just got to be you. Get the book Choices. And stay tuned, because I will share with you the remarkable journey of a man of steel. He could have been in Choices, because he was a man of vision. Live with Kathy is brought to you in part by Ironworkers, District Council of Chicago and Vicinity. And did you know that you could be part of the consortium? I have an introductory offer. It is sponsor-driven, but I think of all of them as my partners. 847-882-8717. Come soar with us. We're eagles. And we'll all hold hands together and sing Ring Around the Rosie. Pockets full of posies. Ashes, ashes. We all stand up and celebrate our life together. Ironworkers, what a noble profession. You could be part of that, too. What's your book? I don't know. You have to call me. I don't know what your purpose is. I don't know what your expectations are. But we won't know unless you call. And if you don't call, the answer is no. Simply no. Then you get to say, I should have, I would have, I could have. Log on ironworkers.org. Did you know that Ironworkers offer a full spectrum in career development, earn while you learn? I love illuminating the character of Ironworkers, their hidden talents, and to pay homage to their commitment to family. Work ethics reveal not only in their artistry, but in the spirit of brotherhood and solidarity. Ironworkers.org. Do you want to be a visionary? You want to find out who you are, who the fabulous you are? Well, join the 50-plus consortium at your park district. And if they don't have one, start one. And you want to know how to do that? Log on to heparks.org and read about Rika Cuff, who is brilliant. 50s, 60s, you're all catching up with us. Be a trailblazer. Don't run with the herd. And then if you need to talk to Greg McIntyre, our CPA, about a little tax issue or minor whatever, you could email him at ahtax@ameritech.net. Looks do matter. You know that when you call in on my show, it has to be a call-in. You get the book free. It's an e-book, The Elixir of Youth, Secrets of a Spring Chicken. Discover how you can look and feel younger and better longer than you ever thought possible right now. You're going to learn how to treat and beautify the inner you that results in an outer glow. Edith Nam, oh, her book, Change to a Positive Mindset and Extend Your Lifeline. Are you in the habit of being with toxic, negative thinking people? You have to adopt, adapt, and activate a new mindset. Let's go back to what I said earlier in the show. You got to change your mindset. You got to change what you're thinking. You have a choice. And, you know, quitting your job could be a good idea, but don't do it until you've got a safety net. And a safety net is a home-based business. More people are becoming wealthy today starting from nothing. I started mine when I was 25 years old. Did I pique your interest? You want to be your own boss? Do you have more month than money? Log on leticia.myshackley.com. And you're listening to Live with Kathy on Blog Talk Radio. And let me, in memoriam, tell you about a visionary. It's from, if you want to go online, the New York Times, May 12th. And they talk about him. Lynn Williams, there's a photo of him. 1984, he was president of the United Steel Workers from 1983 until 1994, a trying period for his industry. My father, Pop Horn, worked at Wisconsin Steel at 106th and Torrance, this way south side of Chicago, and he walked to work every day. What an inspiration. Lynn Williams became head of the United Steels Worker, 1983. Having lost much of its core business to better-equipped foreign competitors in the 1970s, the American steel industry had closed hundreds of mills since the new decade began, eliminating 200,000 jobs in the United States and Canada by 1983. Because of the foreign competition. It would eliminate 200,000 more by the decade's end. Pa never stood in a breadline. That would have demoralized him. That would have killed him. Oh, they had such character, the backbone of our country. I salute you all. Now, he's Canadian-born. He assumed control of a union that at 600,000 members was half the size it had been in 1979. In the next few years, he would steer members through a round after round of layoffs, company bankruptcies, and a six-month work stoppage at U.S. Steel. Yet by the time he retired in 1984, he also added 100,000 new members to the union's ranks and pioneered strategies for carving lasting benefits for workers from the fast-shrinking industrial core of the American economy. Mr. Williams was early to recognize the permanent nature of job losses in the steel industry and one of the first to adopt a strategy of diversification. As the U.S. Steel began buying oil companies, for instance, he led organizing campaigns that brought rubber, cork, and linoleum workers, upholsterers, security guards, bus drivers, and Canadian ski patrol members into the ranks of the steel workers. Man, he was a visionary, are you? He unleashed the fabulous Lynn. His union was also, yay unions, his union was also among the first to successfully demand financial transparency from the industry to negotiate deals fair to both sides, and the first to hire an investment bank to provide advice on subjects like stock options, profit sharing, and how to leverage union power and take over raids like Carl Icahn's stormy 1986 bid for U.S. Steel. In exchange for concessions on wages and benefits, Mr. Williams negotiated contract provisions that added union members to employee stock ownership plans and gave them seats on the company board. He mediated bailouts that saved 25 steel plants from closing between 1985 and 1993 by leveraging employee stock holdings. After a year backward in time, in the Royal Canadian Navy, he began his master's degree in industrial relations and economics at the University of Toronto, but dropped out to take a job at a steel plant and to join the union. I am totally unionized. I remembered feeling overwhelmed. He had to take over when his predecessor passed away, and he suddenly became president of an enterprise under siege on so many fronts. Oh, he had guts. And he said, I'm quoting him now, if you can imagine an old mattress out in a junkyard with the springs popping up, I was like a guy lying on the springs trying to hold them all down. That, he described, was his first days in the job. With only two hands, two legs, and a torso, he added, I didn't have enough body parts. His interviews after retirement were often colorful, but his public statements during 11 years as union president bore the negotiator stamp. Excuse me. Stamp of calculated dullness. That's what Harry Katz, Dean of the School of Industrial and Labor Relations at Cornell University, said. He didn't do quotes, not for the newspapers, which made him less familiar to the public than some later leaders of the time. But he was known for a nuanced, that's a subtle, understanding of the economics of steel making, as well as a grasp of the wage earner's world. He was way ahead of the curve. He was probably one of the most intelligent labor leaders of the 20th century. And his father was a minister, and he was going to follow his father, but he was drawn to the growing union movement as a more democratic way of helping people. Are you a man or a woman of steel? Are you a visionary? Lynn was. You're listening to Live with Kathy. Remember Friday, 6:30, I will have Kevin Hilden on, the Chief Executive Officer of Impact. You'll learn about what a noble profession ironworking is. And they segue into each other, U.S. Steel and U.S. Ironworkers. Be sure and listen. Au revoir.